Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Rawson. I'd like to welcome you to another great night of radio on Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we have Dr. Connie on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to call in about any time between now and the next 30 minutes, she's going to be taking callers on the half hour. And that phone number is 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. Just a heads up for everybody. Actually, I'm doing this way ahead of time, I guess. I was going to let them know there's no show next Wednesday, but it's not next Wednesday, it's the week after. So we won't be having a show Christmas week, and that's going to be most of our shows aren't going to be running that week, so just a heads up for everybody. If you want to find out more about the radio shows, you can go to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com, and also make sure to check out drconniesays.com. And with that, Dr. Connie, are you there?
I am here.
Welcome.
Thank you. So I'm just going to jump right into this thing. As Mark said, good evening, everybody. As Mark said, at the half hour, I will be taking phone calls. And what I primarily do is our angel card readings. Tonight I'm using my Archangel Michael deck. I really enjoy this deck, and with my angel cards, the decks that I have multiple decks and a couple of angel card decks. I use Michael primarily because he is the angel for life purpose. He is the angel for he's the angel that I work directly underneath, and a lot of earth angels. A lot of people who are in this type of work, I'm a psychologist, and a lot of healers, intuitives, however the healing practice is, a lot of that falls under Archangel Michael as well. So he's my go-to guy. He's my go-to angel, and I will be using this deck tonight. So at the half hour, if you would like to call in for a free reading, please do so. Also, on my website, I have a price of $100 for a one-hour reading, and that entails angel cards. It entails other decks as I feel led to. I have tarot cards. I have animal spirit cards. I have cards that talk about and include the earth and earth messages from the different elements of the earth. So I have a lot of different avenues that I use to provide be a conduit for the angels and provide the guidance that the angels are speaking to me. And as a clinical psychologist, I also have the clinical skills. So it's working with problem solving as well as the combination of the spiritual. And I have found very few clinical sites that actually do the clinical, the spiritual piece. So and from now to the end of the year, for my $100 reading, I'm dropping it down to $80 as a gift to you. Also, if you would like to give a gift to a family member who may be questioning or struggling or somebody that would need direction, then you can certainly go on my website at www.drconniesays.com, and there will be a link there to make a payment. You could also email me at drconniesays@gmail.com, and we can chat and line up anything you want. So just wanted to throw that out there for you. I spoke last week about the monkey mind. The monkey mind, to remind you, is that chatter and noise and that we hear in our head. And it fills us with questions and it makes us doubt ourselves and lends to confusion. And the concept of having the chaos in our head is a long-standing issue and problem. So one of the ways of and one of the things that is going to happen when you start on your spiritual journey or want to go deeper in your spiritual journey is the chatter is going to get louder. And it's coming up with ways, concrete ways, of shifting and rethinking to quiet the noise that you hear. A lot of the time when we want to do something different, we want to make a change, we do what's called a second order change. And the best way to describe a second order change is by rearranging the furniture on the Titanic. It doesn't matter where you place the bed, where you hang the pictures, it doesn't matter how much time or money or energy you spend on that room, the boat's still going to sink. We spend a lot of time and energy working on something that we want, but we do little things to change, and we don't look at the long-term solution. The things that we do don't affect the long-term solution. So we're in a relationship, and we don't like that relationship, and we're not getting our needs met, so we hop over into another relationship, and there's a lot of similarities between one situation that we find ourselves in. We may find a great relationship, but then we're going to find a boss that may bring up the same type of issues that a prior relationship did, or our parents did, or a significant person in our life did. Because when we keep attracting the same kind of environment, when we keep attracting the same kind of people, what we're doing is, even though we're changing jobs and we're shifting relationships and we're trying to do all this really good stuff, it's not affecting the long-term outcome of making the changes that we really want to make. So a first-order change would be to get off the Titanic. A first-order change would be when we see that we're heading into waters that we've been there, done that. We immediately recognize it, and we start at that moment. We start shifting into something that we start moving into another direction that we want to go. So, let's say I grew up in an abusive household. Lots of yelling and screaming and slapping and hitting and disempowering and disrespect. And I finally get out of that household and I find a nice quiet lifestyle. But then I find a boss or a friend or a boyfriend that starts doing that same thing. A second order change would be trying to do little things within that relationship to maybe make it more palatable. And maybe make it more doable, or know, or at least be more mindful of, yeah, I grew up in this, but I'm going to do things different now. But I really don't make significant changes. Where a first order change would be, I'm in an abusive relationship with a boss or a boyfriend. Okay, I look for another job or I look for another boyfriend. It's having that awareness, and it's immediately shifting. So what I wanted to talk about tonight was ways to make a first order change. When we start on our spiritual journey, or we find a different level of spiritual journey, and we built this nice little house, and we're very content and comfortable in the little box or the little house that we constructed. And within this house or this box, we have our belief system. We have things that make us comfortable. We have our rules that we're comfortable living with, things that we have compromised on, but it makes us comfortable so we fit. Maybe we don't stand up for ourselves. Maybe we don't stand in our power. Maybe we hop from relationship to relationship because we can't stand being alone, or we need to have somebody with us all the time. So we have this nice little thing that we construct. And when we invite the universe into our house and say, okay, I'm ready for this journey, a lot of us assume that what the universe is going to do is maybe knock on a wall or paint a room or maybe plant some nice flowers up front, second order change type of improvement. But what the universe says is we need to gut this house, or we need to knock the whole thing down to the foundation. In fact, we need to build a new foundation. The life lessons that we learn are the rebuilding of the house that the universe is creating for us and within us. God's plan, the universe's plan for our life, is always to move us toward health, wholeness, happiness, well-being. What we do is we look at the life lessons and we somehow miss the big picture. We miss the first order change of getting out of that box, getting out of that house that we've constructed. It's so nice and cozy, and it just fits. It just fits our limited mindset. And the universe comes in, and the walls can't contain who we are made of. The house that we've constructed and the limitations we put on ourselves shape at the very presence of the universe coming in at our request. Angels can't even spread their wings in most of the houses that we've constructed for ourselves because we live with limitation. We live with compromise. We live in fear. We live listening to the monkey voices. So the life lessons that we learn are the foundation of what we have created, crumbling and falling around us, so that we are rebuilt to live the life and fulfill our divine purpose and learn to live in the abundance that God and the universe has for us. In some of the first order changes that the universe would have us learn, and the life lessons that we are going to be introduced to is just to slow down I've lived and worked in major cities where I see people running. I've seen people run for trains, run for buses, knock people over. I was going into a subway one time, and some guy was going up out of the subway, and some guy was running so fast he actually knocked me off the steps in the subway station because he's in such a hurry. He's got to get somewhere. We are eternal beings. We are never going to die. We are always going to live. Folks, we have time. How many times have you rushed to get to a meeting and you're late and you're worried and you're stressed and you speed or you run a light or you honk a horn or you almost push people out of the way and you get there and the person's not even there? Or they say, oh, no problem, we're going to be, you know, running a little bit late, so no problem. How many times have we pushed ourselves only to find out that we didn't need to? Now, I don't know about you, but when I rush, my anxiety kicks in, and I know that I'm rushing because I'm afraid. I'm afraid what my boss will say. I'm afraid what the client will say. I'm afraid what people are going to think about me. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to lose face or people are going to look at me in a different light. Rushing and feeling like I have to speed to get somewhere or cut somebody off in traffic is a fear-based activity. And it is the monkey screaming at you with some sort of message that fired or whatever. So one of the ways to start moving toward a first order change is to slow down and trust that the universe is going to bend the time for you. I have heard stories, and I have even gotten places, I don't even know how I got there in the time that I got there. But it's like either God suspends time, or he bends time, or something, so that if I need to be somewhere at a certain time, or I need something to happen, then I can get there. Part of being able to slow down is to start earlier, is to prepare and to set myself up so that I'm somewhere on time, that I have my dad. I'm an hour early, almost anywhere I need to go. If I'm supposed to be in a meeting, I'm usually there an hour early, because that's what my dad always did. Which is probably one of the best things that he taught me. But if in order for me to feel centered and grounded in where I'm supposed to be, and if I have set myself up to win in a situation, sometimes in order to slow down, you just start earlier. And that way, you don't feel rushed, you don't feel stressed, and when you arrive there, you may even have time for a cup of coffee, a quick prayer, to enjoy being in the present moment before you have to jump into something. So look at yourself and watch yourself, especially in the holidays when everybody's shopping and there's so much more traffic. How do you feel? Gauge yourself. Look at yourself. Be mindful. How do I spend? How do I feel? What do I do when I'm late? What do I do when I feel rushed and in a hurry? Because, again, when we're feeling rushed and pushed and pressured, there is an element of fear in there, and it's the monkey voice yelling at you. Another thing to do, which would be a first order change, is to accept people where they are and what they do. Since we are not God and we don't know, I do not know what it's like to be in your life space. I do not know what it's like to walk in your shoes. I have an identical twin sister, and we shared a room, we shared clothes, we shared everything. And I still, there's differences in our personality that I still don't understand why she does what she does, no more than she understands why I do the things the way that I do. So if we can accept people and not live in judgment of them, it gives us an opportunity to expand ourselves so that we're able to give and receive love easier. When I judge you, I have put a wall up between me and you. When I judge you, I'm not even saying anything about you, but I'm saying a whole lot about me and where I come from and my limitations and my prejudices and my bias. I haven't said anything about you, but I'm so concerned and focused on you that I don't even recognize and realize that I'm my own imperfections or flaws or whatever that I'm projecting onto you is glaring in my own face. I don't even see it. When I accept you for how you are and who you are, I can accept me and my own flaws. But when I view myself as imperfect and I am very mindful of my own imperfections, it makes me less tolerant of your imperfections, not because of you, but because of my own sense of self-worth and self-acceptance. So a huge first-order change for most people would be not talk about anybody. If you can't say nothing, you know, if you can't say anything nice, then just don't say anything. If you're walking around thinking that you're so much better than, then it keeps you from being able to reach out and touch and connect with that person, because you can't even reach out and touch and connect with yourself. So be very aware that when I'm saying shame on you, what I'm really saying is shame on me. And since I can't change you, I have found out that changing me is a full-time job. Me working on me is about all I can handle. I am changing you. But I do know that when I look at you and I have a thought or a opinion, that's an opportunity for me to look at me and work on those issues within me. So a first order change would be to just slow down, because you're going to live forever. And accept people, accept their differences, just the way that they are. And within that same mindset and thought space is forgiving somebody. If somebody does me wrong, the more I hold on to that, I have so much. It's like I'm so holding on to how much I've been. I'm so holding on to the hurt and the memory, and it just I can't open my arms wide to give and receive love fully, because I'm in a space where I'm too busy being angry and critical at somebody else because they hurt me. The only reason that I can be hurt is because I feel like that there's something in me you were supposed to take care of, and you were supposed to treat me a certain way, and you didn't, and so this is like all your fault. Instead of looking at me and filling that piece of me that feels broken or hurt, and looking at that and letting me work on that, on my own issue, I hold on to the anger and hurt and build up a wall between me and the person who's wounded me. Anytime I'm wounded, it's because of a past hurt. If you break my heart, the only way you can break my heart is if I needed something from you and you didn't give it to me. And the only way I would need it is if I felt like I was lacking something. So with that, Mark, I'm going to let you jump in here and do your mid-show spiel. Unless you're not there. Okay, he's not there. So it's just essence. So I will go ahead and tell you that you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. There is a wide array of talent, of people, of blessings that you can receive. There are people who channel angels. There are people who do different therapies. There are people that have great advice. So just about anything you want, if you had a big array, a cafeteria array, you could put a lot of different stuff on your tray. If you were to listen to the different shows here on Spiritual Connections Radio, the shows are archived. About 10 or 15 minutes after a show is done, then it is available for replay, download. This show is In the Arms of the Angels. My name is Dr. Connie McNeil. I am a clinical psychologist. I am also work as a life coach and intuitive. I do work very closely with the angels. There he is.
Yeah, I was on the other screening call here, and I can't hear you when I do that.
Oh, well, I've been doing your job here.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
I wanted to. Do we cover all the bases? Can I go into stories?
I think we covered most of the bases. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, great. So you had been talking earlier about how. It's funny how we race around, and it's interesting that we notice certain things afterwards that kind of, if we were listening to our intuition, we probably could have saved ourselves a whole lot of hassle. So, I just got done doing a trip out to California, and there was a couple interesting things that happened on my trip. The first is I got up, I think it was last Thursday morning, and I got up at like 3 in the morning. I had to fly out pretty early. Because I'm staying out here in the middle of the woods in Pennsylvania right now, it's quite a drive for me to get from here to the airport. And then from the airport, I got to go from that airport to a Vickers airport. Actually, it took me 3 planes to get to California last week. And, I was really kind of pushing it. coming out of here at around 3:30 in the morning, trying to get to the airport, you know, really just kind of doing a lot of things that weren't too smart, you know, because of the fact that I have a sports car and it's not really good in the winter weather, and, you know, the roads were kind of icy. And, you know, so, you know, what I noticed is I rushed all the way to the airport, and I got there in plenty of time. I got there, I think I had like a 6 o'clock flight, you know, a 6 a.m. flight. And I got there at like, you know, 4:30. And, you know, they give me plenty of time to, like, check my bag and, you know, get to the gate. So I get to the gate and notice the plane's delayed like 2 hours. You know, and you're just like, oh, okay. Of course, you know, I did the usual thing. Like, I checked before I left the house just to see if it was on time. And, of course, it was on time before I left the house. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, as I'm driving, I'm like, well, you know, I don't think I really need the rush. I should just slow down. And I'm like, no, I got to push this. I got to make sure I get there on time. And sure enough, I get there, and like I said, the plane was delayed because of fog in Philadelphia. So kind of flash forward, because I always think it's interesting that, you know, at least for me, that I don't listen to my guidance sometimes, and I notice the lessons afterwards. But also that I can repeat the same dumb mistakes within a few days. So you know, I'm in the Monterey airport, and, you know, I got there plenty early, wanted to kind of sit around and relax. I was supposed to fly out from Monterey to L.A. so I could stay for the night, and then I was going to fly across the country during the next day. And I get there, and I'm sitting with a friend, and we're having a bite to eat. We have plenty of time. I get to the gate, you know, go through security, which is fun when you use the small airports because I can get through security in about 2 minutes. Which is absolutely incredible for anybody who's spent, you know, anywhere from 20 to 3 hours in line for security. And I get to the gate, and I find out the plane's delayed like 2 hours and 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, boy, this is, you know, I had this attachment to wanting to get to L.A. and go out and have dinner and, you know, all that kind of stuff and settle into the hotel before I had to get up early in the morning and do the next flight the next day. So I go rushing back out the gate. I go back to the ticket counter, and I ask, because I noticed they had something to do with the equipment that was going on with the airline I was flying. And I noticed that, you know, the next airline over had a flight out at the same time going to L.A. So I asked, you know, is it okay if I switch my flight? And they're like, yeah, that's not a problem. We do it all the time. You can just switch from one airline to the other. We'll do it. There'll be no fees. You know, usually they're trying to charge you a fee or something. And the guidance that's coming to me is just leave it alone, go sit, read your book, don't worry about it, stop being a push. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go, I want to go have my dinner, you know, and all that. And, you know, so, you know, long story short, you know, basically it's like an hour later, the plane for the other airlines is like a few seconds away from taking off. They still haven't worked out the details. No one quite knows if they pulled my bag off the other airlines or, you know, where it went. You know, so I'm thinking, okay, wonderful. I'm going to get to L.A., and my bag's not going to make it. So I'm like, well, this is a big mess that's about to happen. And, you know, the net result was that, you know, my bag was found, which was good. As it turns out, I would have been correct. If I had gone on the other airlines, my bag was not going to be with me. It would have arrived a few hours later, whatever, 3 or 4 hours later on the other airlines. And, you know, it was just like, so they found my bag, and I ended up going to the gate. I had wasted like an hour of my time with all this, like, logistics and stuff that just didn't pan out. But if I had just to my guidance and stopped trying to mess with things, I could have just been sitting and reading and enjoying my time there. But it's like, no, I had attachment to, like, what I wanted to do and all that kind of stuff. I think it's very interesting. I think, you know, a lot of the great teachers through history have taught us that it's okay to have preferences for things, but it's not a good thing for you to have attachments to outcome. And, you know, I had this big attachment of, no, I have to get to L.A. at a certain time, and I want to go do this, this, and this. I can't be flexible, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, the net result is, you know, it's almost like, you know, Spirit teaches you a lesson by saying, you know, if you just sit there and relax and just let this be, you could have had all the time to read your book and, you know, and then you end up wasting all your time on the situation. So just some very interesting lessons learned from the whole trip, you know.
Well, I have, jumping on that then, I have the exact opposite. I had something, I changed a behavior that I normally do, which was in this whole rush thing, is not only the rushing, physically rushing from place, but the mental jargon that goes through the brain of, okay, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to go, and I got to do that, and this whole thing that goes through your brain. But and Mark, I told you this, but my laptop crashed, and I texted Mark because he's my IT expert, and he gave me some great advice. So going on that advice, I told myself for once, I'm just going to totally detach and let God do what the universe is going to do. And I said, God is going to get me a computer. I didn't know how, I didn't know where, didn't know when. So I'm getting dressed, and I call my ex-husband because I knew he had a Microsoft Word program that I thought he might be able, if I found a laptop. And as I'm talking to my ex about this Microsoft Word program, he reminds me that our daughter, he had refurbished a laptop for her, her laptop for him, but he never used it. So he gave me, for $64, a brand new refurbished laptop, a new hard drive, Microsoft Word is installed, and a virus is installed, pristine guts. So within an hour of my laptop crashing, I had a new laptop for $64. And part of it was because I didn't go through the gyration of rushing up to, 15 different stores to price check and what am I going to do, and going through that whole drama, that whole scene.
Yeah, I think as spiritual people, I think we always try to head towards achieving, getting to the point that we can just avoid all the lessons and just kind of look at a situation and go, okay, I know what I need to learn out of that. Let's move forward.
Yeah, well, I don't know that any of us is ever going to get there. Maybe for me in like 700 more lifetimes, maybe, but certainly not in this one.
Yeah, I got big expectations, but no, I have expectations but no attachment to the fact that I want to start learning the lessons immediately that way.
Well, once you get something and you get it, then you don't have to go through the lesson again. Or at least if you do, it is one of those where, oh, see that, yeah, lesson learned and move on kind of thing, you know.
I wish I could claim that. Unfortunately, I can tell you, as this life has shown me a number of times just in the past year alone, I haven't figured that one out yet because I seem to be repeating the same lessons this year. So,
well, I think that a lot of people can say that. I don't think that's just you alone. This, for some reason, I don't know whether it's the energy of the earth. I don't know whether it's a critical mass getting ready to happen and a shift getting ready to happen. But it just seems like a lot of people that walk the walk and do the work and really are mindful of their spirituality are just going through. I don't ever want to live through 2013 again. This was a tough year for me too. So but it's the, I think that God has, for those of us who want to take the plunge, I think the earth is ready for people to stand up and be a voice. And in order to do that, it's like, okay, we really need to shore up these foundations for these new houses and really make a solid ground for people to stand on to proclaim their truth. So.
Excellent. Let's see. Let's give you one of the callers here. Hold on for a second. And mm-hmm. we're going to bring Sandy online. Sandy, you're on with Dr. Connie.
Sandy, good evening. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How can I help you this evening?
Well, a relationship problem and going to a psychologist. And, they put us in separate with separate psychologists, and I just am not sure I feel comfortable with how the psychologists are handling this, you know?
Yours or both of them?
I think it could be his.
Okay.
But it could be both of them. I just I'm not sure, and the thing is I think if people are having relationship problems, that they ought to, get the two of us in together and hear the whole story, not, have two different psychologists hearing the story.
Well, the way that I always did my couples therapy was I would bring them in initially, and then I always knew that each person would want to come in and work on some of their issues. But I would usually, if I have two people, obviously I don't, there's confidentiality. But I always tell my couples that I would not have confidentiality. And if you said something that I felt like he needed to hear, then I was free to say that so that we could bring that up in the open. And then every once in a while, I'd have the couple back in. So you guys can certainly, if you're not comfortable, then that could be a red flag for you to say, this is not working for me.
Well, I think it's working for my husband because he can tell them whatever he wants about me. And the thing is my husband told me that the psychologist thought I was very pushy and that I tried to ask him, if he thought things would be okay. That, we could work things through things. I mean, and for him to tell my husband that I was pushy made me feel like he was validating my husband's, what my husband has been saying all along, which, other people don't really say that except for, the ones that he's told that, mm-hmm.
Okay. So then specifically what would you like for me to place the cards for? What's your specific question?
What I need, because there's infidelity.
Okay.
And what I need to do, where is this going, what I need to do, how I need to handle this.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that you already know how. You may not want to, but deep in your heart, you know exactly what to do. The Bible is asking you to be sure to remember to pray and to bring the angels into your situation. There's a number of different ways that you and your does your husband want to work the marriage out?
Well, I'm hearing that. He said he immediately went over there and met with her and told her, I can't do this anymore. My wife's found out. She's going to get you fired from your job, And I need these articles back or she will go after you, And he supposedly hadn't seen her since, but, I don't know that.
Okay. So here's what here's what Michael is saying for you. Number one, be sure that you're praying and you're mindful of God and your spirituality, or you wouldn't have called it. But the angels are asking you to be even more mindful of calling them in for help. You have options. You get to explore all your options. Whether you change psychologists, whether you want to stay with this guy, what kind of relationship you want to have with this guy. Use your imagination and be creative in what you and he want to create.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
In other words, ask for what I want?
Yeah, of course. Always ask for what you want.
Yeah. Is there something else I can do?
And then, well, you get to stand and use your voice, and you already know what you want to do. Because I see you being really grounded. It may be very frightening for you to think, to follow through what your thoughts are saying. I don't know what your thoughts are saying. I just see you as grounded, and that if you were in a dark room by yourself and it was just you and God, you'd know exactly what to do. Do that.
Do what?
Do that. When you pray, the angels are telling you exactly that you have the strength to do whatever it is that you, whether it's changing psychologists, whether it's confronting your husband, whether it's, I don't know what it is, but I just see a tree and I see the roots coming down, and I just, that's what I see. You're stronger than you think you are.
Yeah.
And you know deep down, you know what you want or what you need to do. So look at your options. Be creative. And when you do that, then you're going to find new beginnings and a new start for yourself without this guy.
Well, see, I want the situation to turn around, but it takes two.
Right.
You know?
I do know.
And, I mean, you know from your previous experiences.
Right.
And I guess I just need to pray for what I want to happen.
Pray for what you want to happen and then move toward that.
Okay.
If you want to save your marriage, then what is it going to take from you if it was 100% your responsibility to save your marriage? Because relationships are not 50-50. Relationships are 100%, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So how much are you invested in saving your marriage? What is it that you, if your life depended on it, would you do different? And I don't know if I have other callers, so I'm not hearing Mark. So
I say about that is I've been putting more than 100% in. It just, he wasn't.
Okay.
And I can't. I'm only in charge of me.
Okay. Well, the angels are saying, what I see when I hear you, what I see is a tree grounded. I know you're a strong woman. And now it's just standing up for what it is you want.
Okay.
And
how do
you
I
do that?
Yeah. Well, I
but
do
wait,
that.
I'm, step at a time, what do you want? You need to define what it is you want. If it's to save your marriage and to have this kind of relationship with your husband, then you ask your angels and you do things deliberately toward making whatever you specify, making that your goal. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And that's what I thought I was doing.
Well, you may have been. You may have been doing it, but if he doesn't want it, then then, you know, you need to listen to what he's saying too.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm hearing that he's trying.
Okay.
And but how much is he trying?
Well, I would get a meeting with him and come in strictly as a psychologist. I'd get the three or the four of you together, and I wouldn't take no for an answer.
Exactly. That's what I will do. As I went on my next appointment, I'll just say, look, or just before my next appointment, I'll say, this is what I want.
Right.
That
and,
I don't feel like this is doing any good.
Right, and then once you get all that aired out, then you'll know where you stand and what you guys want to work on.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, good luck.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Dr. Kine, can you pull some cards? I've been looking at some job proposals in Ohio.
Whereabouts in Ohio?
I'm bouncing around between Cincinnati and Cleveland and Columbus. Three different job opportunities right now. So it's interesting that they're all coming up in the last 12 hours.
I actually have, I'm actually from the Cincinnati area. That's my roots, yep.
Yeah, my friend Rockney was originally from Cleveland, so it's funny how everybody's leaving and it looks like I'm heading in that direction.
Well, one of the things that Michael wants you to do, since you are such a attachable type of guy, is just to let go and just let it flow the way that it's going to flow.
Okay.
Because it's, and to all right. There's more than one person involved. And what Michael wants you to do as you're detaching is just trust the process and trust that you're going to end up where you're supposed to end up.
That seems to be the common message these days.
Yeah. It's like, what Michael needs you to do is just let go and just know that you're being led internally, even if you don't cognitively know where you're going. Internally, you're being led where you need to go, and your gut and your intuition is just going to lead you there. But the more you hang on and you know, try to weigh the options of all these different opportunities, then it just makes it harder for the universe to work, because they keep having to work around you. You keep staying. It's like standing in on a projector screen, and you stand there and you get to your silhouette. It's like the universe is having to jockey around you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it seems to be the common message and theme lately.
It's amazing. Once the universe gets hold of something, you get to hear it a lot.
All right, so you're all set to go ahead and close out any comments or anything before we shut down the show.
Thank you again, each of you, for listening and being a part of this great ministry that Mark sort of spawned by himself with the Spiritual Connections Radio. Thank you for being a part of that by listening. And I hope to hear from you either on my website or through email, and would love to converse with you. So Mark, I'm going to give it right back to you.
All right, sounds good. You've been listening to Dr. Connie in the Arms of the Angels. She's on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Please note that there is a show next Thursday, the 19th, but there is no show on the 26th due to the holidays. We're all going to take the week off, which is great. And if you want to find out more, go to drconniesays.com to take a look at her website. And as always, to see all the different things on the radio show, you can go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. So with that, I'm going to say good night, everybody. Good night, Dr. Connie.
Good night. Good night, Mark.